the Hail Mary.
Thank you, everybody. So we will begin the class. Sorry for the delay. Technology sometimes is ahead of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we say the prayer of the month. Mary, my mother, I love you. Love me too. And give me a sip of the will of God for my soul. Give me your blessing too. I may do all my actions under your maternal gaze. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. We will continue to talk about the book of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And I hope that as we have been studying this book, and as we have been talking about the Blessed Mother and how the Blessed Mother wants us to receive this gift, I also hope that you have found new meaning in praying the rosary now, praying this beautiful prayer that we call it Trinitarian prayer. That's how I call it, in which we find God our Father, the words of God our Father, the words of the Holy Spirit, the petition of our Lord Jesus in the Our Father, and that we want to direct this praise, glory, honor, and adoration to the Blessed Trinity, and to give to the Blessed Trinity as it was before the fall, in complete union with God, in complete union with his divine will, so that we may receive also as they were receiving. So I hope that every time you pray the rosary now is you have this in mind and is more meaningful for you, and you are able to understand it, and also to find those passages that I gave you last time from the Bible, from the Gospel of Luke. Today we celebrate the Most Holy Trinity. Is the celebration of the Most Holy Trinity. And there is this beautiful prayer also that comes from the Book of Heaven, and some of you may know it. It goes like this: Ever Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I love you intensely. I thank you perpetually in the hearts of all and on behalf of all. That's a beautiful prayer that we find also in the Book of Heaven. So I invite all of you to make it yours and to pray it and to just reflect with this beautiful prayer that tells us about the Blessed Trinity and how we correspond to the Blessed Trinity in a perfect way. Tomorrow is going to be also the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we are going to finish also tomorrow with these meditations from the Book of Heaven. And I just want to invite all of you to do the consecration that is right there in your book. Page 192 is the reflection for tomorrow, is the offering of our human will to the Celestial Queen. And as we finish this book, as we finish our journey with the Blessed Mother, giving our will to the Blessed Mother and asking the Blessed Mother to give us in exchange the will of her Son, our Lord Jesus, and asking also the Holy Spirit to seal us with that grace and to make us grow in that likeness. So we offer our human will to the Celestial Queen, and tomorrow will be a wonderful day to do this consecration. Also, as you know, there are also in the book some meditations that follow. There are 5 meditations that follow that book. So just continue to do those during June until you finish them And they are part of this reflection. Sorry, there are six meditations. And just to complete that journey with the Blessed Mother, in which we have been learning so much as you have followed these days, these almost 30 days, you see how the Blessed Mother has taken us to the life of our Lord Jesus, and how she was also changed, and how many sufferings she encountered, and how she was able to be fixed always in the divine will. And that's what she wants for us to receive, also this gift in our hearts, this gift in our souls, this gift that other than it they possess, and that our Lord Jesus possessed by nature, and the Blessed Mother possessed by grace. And we are also able to grow in this gift and to possess it in our hearts and our souls through the study of these writings given to the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. So Luisa is the first creature that she is able to receive this knowledge, this vast knowledge of how to live in the divine will. And she was able to receive in her soul also this gift to learn. She was formed. We have talked about this, how our Lord Jesus formed her through the virtues. And she was able to possess this gift step by step. And we are also able to receive this. It's been given to us through this writing. So it is up to us if we want to apply ourselves to receive this gift and to make it ours. So today I want to also remind you of the little sacrifice that the Blessed Mother is asking us to do today for the meditation of today. And I'm going to read it from the book. It says, today, to honor me, you will recite seven glory bees in honor of the Holy Spirit, praying to me that his prodigies may be renewed over the whole church. Seven glory bees also today, that is the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, to give glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Again, having in mind that we want to give to God in a perfect way, as Adam and Eve were given. And continue with this theme. Also, I want to go now to the catechism, because we have been talking about that state in which Adam and Eve were placed, were created. And I want you to know where you can find also this information, because I don't want you to think that I'm just making these things up. Right, so you go to the catechism, and it is in paragraph 374 that there we find man in paradise, how Adam was created in the state of grace. And the catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that Adam was created in a complete friendship with God, with his creator, and that there was harmony between God and him. And there was harmony also with himself and with creation. So this state, right? This state of happiness in which he was created, this state of immaculacy in which he was created, this state of grace, the original wholeness that he shared in that union with God, he shared the divine life. So yes, to remember that we also share in the divine life of God. God the Father gives us his Son Jesus as a gift. He is a gift for all of us. And in the Gospel of John, we also read that Jesus recognizes us as the gift. That God the Father has given us to Jesus as a gift. and Jesus has been given also to us as a gift. So God the Father and the Son, they give us their Holy Spirit. The Blessed Trinity now gives us their life. The Blessed Trinity gives us their life. How? In baptism, by giving us that divine life. So the Blessed Trinity gives us the divine life, that is them, right? Three divine persons, one God. So God gives us himself. He gives himself to us in baptism. So this original state of justice and holiness in which Adam and Eve, they were created in complete union with God. Since they were in complete union with God, then we can say they live in God's will. And they possess this unity in their hearts, in their souls. And it was before the fall that they were able to give completely to God. And they were able to receive completely from him. So you go there, and then we go to the book of heaven now. Let's go to volume 16, January 14, 1924, to see what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa de Carreta about Adam. Remember, we are trying to understand Adam and Eve before the fall, since in the Rosary, we say, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. So to understand how was it in the beginning. So through the Catechism, we understand that in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were created in complete union with God, in complete state of happiness, in complete state of holiness and justice. So that comes from the Bible, that comes from the understanding of the church, from the church. And then now we go to the book of heaven to also see what Adam and Eve, they possessed before the fall. So in this passage, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, as soon as he, meaning Adam, broke from the bounds of union with our will, he lost the royal garment, the enchantment, the light, and the bliss. So he lost. That means that when he was in the state of grace, he possessed a royal garment of light. That he was in complete union, and this light covered him totally. Perhaps one of the ways we can understand this this vision is to visit also the gospel at the Transfiguration, how Jesus is depicted as being so radiant with light so dazzling that the apostles, they couldn't see that, they couldn't sustain that in their eyes, and but it was so peaceful and that they even wanted to stay there. So this Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus takes us a little bit to see the taste of what Adam and Eve possessed before the fall. Also, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus gives us a taste of what they possessed before the fall. But the book of heaven tells us that they possess, that Adam possessed this garment of light, that he was in complete union with God, with God's will. And this corresponds perfectly to what the church tells us also in the Catechism. So here we see that there is no contradiction. Here we see that what the church tells us through the Catechism that comes actually from the book of Genesis is corresponds with what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta about Adam before the fall. And that our Lord Jesus also tells that Adam looked at himself without the light. He looked at himself without the light of my will. And upon seeing himself without the enchantment, which kept him absorbed. He understood how. He understood how he felt ashamed and became afraid of God. This is after he lost the gift. He became afraid, right? So after all of this, fear comes as a consequence. Fear, pain, suffering comes as a consequence of the fall, as being separated from God's will. And again, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us there that there was harmony before the fall. There was complete harmony with himself and with the creation around him. So again, we see this this passage that comes from the Book of Heaven that tells us also corresponds perfectly to what the Church tells us. It makes sense if we compare the two texts. It makes sense to see how it was at the beginning and now in the place where we are. And also if we see this, then we can understand why the Lord wants us to possess this gift, because it is only through this union with God, it is only through the possession of this gift that then we can go back and we can go and receive as Adam and Eve were receiving, as the Blessed Mother was receiving, and as our Lord Jesus himself, he gave and he received in his soul. So in giving us a reparation for all of us, redoing as an act of reparation for all the human race. So all this fear, this shamefulness, all this pain, this suffering, our Lord tells us is, these are the effects of the separation, the effect of Adam withdrawing himself from the divine will. Then his nature, right? He became afraid. He became fearful. He saw himself naked. He suffered cold. He suffered the heat. He suffered hunger and weakness. He became weak. So we don't want, right, to continue in that pattern. Our Lord Jesus has broken the chain, and he invites us to receive now in this way, through this gift of the writing of God, of the writings of God, Luisa Picarreta. In that same vein, let's go to volume 30, November 4, 1931 of the Book of Heaven. And let's see also what our Lord tells us about this state of grace in which Adam and Eve were placed and before the fall. Our Lord Jesus says the following: since man was the last being to be created, I wanted to rest in him. That is, by the power of my will acting in him. We read also in the Book of Genesis that on the seventh day, God rested. And God rested according to what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta. He wanted to rest in the soul of man. He wanted to rest in him. When we were studying the commandments, at some point I explained the third commandment, to make the Lord, the day of the Lord holy, to make the Sabbath holy, to sanctify the day of the Lord, to make it holy. And when we go to Mass, we fulfill that commandment, because then the Word of God that comes, the Word of God that comes from sacred scriptures finds his resting place in our hearts. Jesus in the Eucharist, he finds his resting place in our souls. And we also find rest in Him. So now in the New Covenant, the third commandment, right, which still applies for all of us, the Ten Commandments, they still, Jesus didn't come to avoid them, but to fulfill them. So we still have to abide by the Ten Commandments. And when we fulfill that commandment by going to Mass, to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we sanctify that day and we make it holy by being there, right? By being at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And again, the word of that finds its resting place in us. So Jesus wants to rest in us through his word sacramentally in the Eucharist. And at the beginning, our Lord Jesus tells Elizabeth Carreta, God wanted to rest in the soul of man. He wanted to rest in him. Our soul now becomes then that little heaven in which the Blessed Trinity resides. And this happens in the sacrament of baptism. The Holy Spirit has been put into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul tells us, makes us live in temples of God. God resting in us. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. God walking in our souls. So this soul, this garden now, this garden that is our soul, has to be filled with all the virtues. As I explained also when we were studying the virtues, that our souls, they have to be like gardens, filled with all virtues. And the Holy Spirit has to be the divine gardener. We have to let him. We have to let him do in us and to produce more virtues. And when we read the Book of Heaven, especially the meditations, this is where the Blessed Mother tells us that the action of the Holy Spirit, this is the little sacrifice that the Blessed Mother is asking us today, to say seven glory beads in honor of the Holy Spirit. Praying to me, the Blessed Mother says, that his prodigies may be renewed in the whole church, the prodigies of the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning then, let's go back to that passage. Our Lord Jesus then says he wanted to rest in man. He wanted to rest in him. He says, by the power of my will acting in him. The power of his will acting in him, in Adam. So this is what happens when we unite ourselves to the divine will and we come to the possession of this gift. A little by little, the will of God acting in each one of us as he was acting in Adam and Eve before the fall, as it was acting through the whole life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if we go back to the visitation then, when the angel says, "Hail, full of grace," the angel bringing the words of God the Father to Mary, full of grace, right? We understand that Adam and Eve, they live in this fullness of grace, in this perfect union with God. If the union was perfect, then the fullness in them, right? So we understand that at the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were full of grace also at every moment in their lives before the fall. The Blessed Mother is full of grace since the moment of her conception. And by uniting ourselves, by growing in the knowledge and understanding of this gift, of how to live in the divine will, by doing our acts in the divine will by letting, as our Lord Jesus says, his will acting in us. He will form in us. He will form in us. In us. He will form in us all those acts, right? So those acts united with him will be acts done in the divine will. This is what the Blessed Mother says also in this meditation 13 of the Blessed Mother of the Virgin Mary. She tells us that her acts united, right, to us will be, excuse me, our acts united to her acts will become acts done in the divine will. And through that, we understand then how the acts done by Saint Joseph and some of the apostles, even though they didn't have this knowledge of how to live in the divine will, by being united with their acts, with the acts of the Blessed Mother and of our Lord Jesus, then this, we can say they were acts done in the divine will. So this is how the gift will operate, and it operates in us by letting the will of God acting, operating in us. So let's go to now to the Book of Heaven, Volume 14, September 9, 1922, to continue with the same theme, trying to see Adam before the fall, and through that to understand how he was given glory in a perfect way to God, and he was receiving also in a perfect way. Our Lord Jesus says the following: my joy reached its summit in seeing in this man, mean Adam, the almost endless generation of many other souls who will provide me with as many other kingdoms for as many souls that will exist, and in whom I will reign and expand my divine boundaries. Last class, I spoke about the eternal presence and the presence of God, and how in his eternal present, he contains all of us. He sees all of us. And in him, being one eternal present, he sees all generations. So he had us in mind when he was created, the sun, the moon, the stars in creation. We were present in God. And in this passage, he tells us that in him, in Adam, he saw the endless generations of many other souls who will provide, him as many other kingdoms. So sometimes people, they ask me about the gift, and so many people, they think, you know, that this gift will come at once to all of us. And in the Book of Heaven, I haven't found anything that says something like that, that this will be something like that. But even in the Gospel, we then find an understanding of how it will reign. Because our Lord Jesus many times refers to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's so little. Then the kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went and he threw the seed. Some fell in good ground, others in rocky sea, and all of that. But if in the last passage, the passage before, our Lord Jesus tells us that he resides in he wanted to reside and to rest in the soul of men. There was the little garden, the place in which he wants to reside. And then our Lord Jesus in this other text tells us that in Adam, he saw many other souls who will provide him with as many other kingdoms. So every soul becoming a place in which our Lord Jesus is able to make his kingdom grow, his will be done here on earth. So every heart, every soul becomes a place in which the kingdom of the divine will takes root. In this vein, then we can go to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the revelation. Our Lord Jesus tells Sister Margaret at Alloport that he wants to be constituted the king of every single heart. So our heart is that resting place in which our Lord Jesus wants to reside and wants to make his will reign in us. So that place is in our hearts where it begins, letting the divine will reign in us first. And this is what the Blessed Mother is teaching us during this month of May. He's teaching us to let that kingdom reign in us, to give up our human will in exchange for the divine will, that our souls may also become that place in which the divine will reigns. So that we can say with the Blessed Mother together, as sons of the Blessed Mother, as true children of the Blessed Mother, my soul magnifies the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 46, as soon as Elizabeth speaks those words of praise that are the words of the Holy Spirit, praising Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. The Blessed Mother immediately corresponds to that praise of love. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So that we may also be able to see, my soul magnifies the Lord. The divine will reign in us. So this is what the Blessed Mother is doing, is leading us to this gift so that with her we may say together, and may it be true, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul gives praise, glory, and adoration in a perfect way to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, this is what was happening before the fall with Adam and Eve. They were given in this way, so they were receiving in that perfect way, to in that perfect mode of receiving before the fall. The Rosary leads us to that. The Rosary leads us to that way of giving in a perfect way. It leads us through the words of God the Father, through the words of the Holy Spirit to Mary, and leads us to ask for this kingdom to descend in our hearts, in our soul. The Blessed Mother wants this gift to reside, to rest in our soul. It's the gift that Adam and Eve lost. And it was so great that God doesn't give up on us. He wants us to possess this gift again. And that's why through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarret, that now we have this great blessing that has been given to us, to be able to possess this gift so that our Lord Jesus may have as many souls in which he may be able to expand the boundaries of the divine will. So it is really in us, my brothers and sisters, it's in us in which the will has to reside first. And then by studying it, by loving it, by embracing it, and asking the Holy Spirit always to give us the grace to understand it, to fill us with his knowledge, that we may be able to understand it more deeply, and to be able to really embrace it so that we may pass it on to others. So we may be able to give it to others. So this gift that is so great to be able to give it to others. So this is what our Lord Jesus wants. This is our Lord Jesus desires, that this gift may be embraced by all of us, that his will may reign on earth as it reigns in heaven, is the prayer of the Our Fathers. Let's go to the next passage that I want to go through this afternoon before we finish, so that we can see again the life of Adam before the fall, what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, so that we may understand how Adam was really full of grace also before the fall. And Mary, the new Eve, is the one that is full of grace now. And as children of the Blessed Mother, she wants us to be also filled with that grace. And that feeling of grace, that transformation begins in baptism and continues to grow in us through the sacraments, through the life of grace in the church, and through this private revelation given to Luisa Picarreta. Now we have this vast knowledge of how to grow in that grace. And that's the mission of Luisa Picarreta, to pass unto us that great knowledge of how to live in this way. We creatures conceived in original sin, born in original sin. This is what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta in September 14, 1923. It's volume 16. As soon as Adam sinned, his is pulsing around me. His little light became dark. He became blind and lost the light to be able to see as much as it is possible for men. So before the fall, he was covered with complete light. And after the fall, he was filled with darkness. Before the fall, he was able to see. He lost the gift and he became blind. At every moment, with every single act before the fall, he was growing in the likeness of God. He was resembling more and more and more and more his creator. After the fall, the opposite happened. What was light became darkness. He was transformed. So now through this gift, our Lord Jesus, through the lessons of Blessed Mothers during these 3 days, the Blessed Mother wants us to receive that light, to recover that beauty. To move from darkness into light, from ugliness to beauty, our Lord Jesus says in the same passage. He wants to transform us from ugliness into beauty. Because this fall, because of the separation, because of the disobedience, Adam lost his ability to pulsate around his creator, and therefore he lost order, light, and dominion over himself and over the whole creation. In the Blessed Mother, we see all this dominion that our Lord Jesus talks about. Because the Blessed Mother, in the Blessed Mother, we see all virtues. We see all virtues so that we see perfect temperance, perfect prudence, perfect strength and justice. In us, we see that we need all these virtues. We see all these virtues that they need to grow in us. That's why they are so needed, because they give us dominion of ourselves. So that by being led, not by the senses, so we may be led by the spiritual aspect of us, to be led by the soul, to be spiritualized and to grow in that likeness and to recover that strength that was lost. So these are for us necessities. The virtues are necessities for us, and that's why our Lord Jesus forms Luisa also in the virtues. These are things that we lost as we lost the gift. In the Blessed Mother, we see that at every moment she is full with grace. She's filled with that light, with that beauty, with that strength, with that dominion, with that self-dominion. But in us, we need those virtues to grow. And again, that life of grace begins in baptism with the 3 virtues, theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. And we need to cultivate the rest by repetition, the catechism tells us. In the Blessed Mother, we see the fullness of grace. She is full of grace at every moment. She is filled with all virtue. At every moment of her life, she is filled with all virtue. And those virtues, with every single act that she does, they receive new strength. They continue to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. It will happen the same with us. It will happen the same with us if we learn how to live in this way. Those virtues will grow in us. At every moment, they will receive new grace, not only when they are exercised, at the moment that they need to be exercised, but that at the moment that the opportunity arises for those to be tested. But at every moment, they will receive new strength, This is what we see that was happening before the fall. The divine will brought order, light, dominion for Adam. And this is what was in the life of the Blessed Mother. At every moment, order or in her soul. That's why her soul was able to magnify the Lord, to give to God at the same level, to give to God equally, to give to God and God gives. And this is what this gift does in us, makes us give to God as God gives us, equally, to correspond in that way. Let's go to the last passage I want to go before we finish today. I think we saw this passage also last week. I don't remember if this is the one, but our Lord Jesus tells us that before the fall, Adam, by virtue of living in union with him, was able to grow in likeness, that Adam was able to operate in the same mode, M-O-D-E, the same mode as God operates. Meaning that by operating in this mode, they were able to give to God as God was giving them. The Blessed Mother was able to correspond to God and to give to God as God was giving to her. And she was able to receive as God wanted to give. After the fall, Adam couldn't give to God as God was giving him. He was not in the same mode. He was not operating in the same mode. He was operating only in the mode of his human will. So the correspondence was imperfect, incomplete. It was not the same anymore. Therefore, he was not able to grow as he was growing in the likeness. He was not able to be filled at every moment as God wanted him to be filled. So then emptiness. He found emptiness in himself. He found that place. Now that was occupied by God now is empty. So the thirst for God now. That's the thirst for God, because that place was not being filled with God anymore. So these are some passages that they help us to understand how Adam was operating before the fall, so that when we say glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, and when we say as it was in the beginning, may it be now and forever and ever, amen, we may understand really what we are saying, that we want to give glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit in a perfect way, as God deserves to receive glory. Not in the human mode, but in his own mode, in the divine mode. And this passage, they give us some light for us to understand this. So next time you pray this beautiful prayer, so simple, but it contains so much, really the expression, the desire of the creature is to give to God completely, a desire to correspond to God so in a complete way. So in this way, we understand, I hope you understand then why the Blessed Mother wants us to say today for the little sacrifice 7 times, glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So now with this understanding, I hope you are able now to enter into a deeper relation with God when you say this prayer, right? So that your soul may experience that union, and little by little, as you continue to study the Book of Heaven and to pray the Rosary. And again, I hope the Rosary now has new meaning for you. I hope you love the Rosary and the Blessed Mothers even more. And I hope these meditations of the Blessed Mothers have helped you as they have helped me. And I encourage all of you to do the consecration tomorrow. Just do it on your own. You know, you can do it before Mass, or you can do it after Mass. You can do it as you go and visit the Blessed Sacrament or at home or in your meditation time. So just as long as you have the desire to really ask the Blessed Mother to help you and to pray with that prayer. So let's finish today with a glory be. Let's say 3 glory bees in honor of the Blessed Trinity today. And then we can spend a few minutes to answer some questions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And let us say the prayer of the Blessed Trinity. Ever most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I love you intensely. I thank you perpetually in the hearts of all and on behalf of all. Come, O divine will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so perhaps we can spend a couple of minutes to answer questions related to our class. I think you just have to open your mind.